Hey, we like to just keep the podcast going here a little bit. The football pod has just concluded. You can listen to that on Podbean. But Zach and I, we've realized that we basically just hang out and gab after the pod a lot of times. So we thought we would just record that. So we're calling it the Nightcap. We'll just talk here 15, 20 minutes about whatever we want to talk about and allow Zach to have another beverage before going to bed here at night and myself. And we'll enjoy that from there. There you go. What do we have this evening in the Nightcap?
My Golden Light Silo.
Ooh, look at you. You went from a blue drink. You were drinking something blue during our podcast, which I could only assume was toilet water. And then you moved into the Mick Golden Light to soften it up here during the Nightcap. So that's very nice.
Yep, I had my mixed drink, and now I'm onto a beer as we watch Thursday Night Football complete here. You know, so the interesting thing here, we touched very briefly on Houston and Davis Mills, but Davis Mills was taken just after Kellen Mond.
That's true. That's true.
And Davis Mills hasn't looked terrible tonight.
No.
He's 16-24 for like 150. You know, not that he's lighting up the world by any means, but short week. He's got his team in a one-score game. That'll be an interesting thing to watch here, right? If he plays a couple weeks with Tyrod out and plays halfway decent, it might be a talker here in Minnesota.
It could be a talker, and I'd feel bad for Tyrod Taylor because he'd probably be just sitting there going, man, what on earth? I mean, he's either got the worst luck in the world, or, I mean, I don't know, maybe he's just destined to be that guy who can't stay healthy and gets usurped by other guys.
You know, the other part of it, too, is I guess I can't feel too bad about it because Tyrod Taylor has made a lot of money in his life.
Yes, he has. He's done okay for himself. I don't think anybody's going to cry poverty for Tyrod Taylor or feel sorry for him. But, you know, I'm impressed with Darnold. Like, watching this game, another night where here he is. He's 22 of 32 for 280. You know, he's getting it done despite the fact he doesn't have McCaffrey. And Chuba Hubbard can't break a tackle if his life depended on it. And here he is just kind of making plays. I think you're onto something with Darnold, and it could be found money for Carolina. I kind of dig it.
Speaking of found money, Tyrod Taylor has made $59.6 million in his career.
So what you're saying is it's a good life.
Yeah, whether he's getting poked in the lung or not.
So. I think he'd almost deserve $59 million after getting poked in the lung, don't you think? I mean, if I'm going to get shot in the lung with a needle, I better get some money for that.
Hey, I would line up right now for $59 million to take a shot to the lung.
Sure. Yeah, if I'm not going to die from it, yeah, why not? Take $59 million. I think even if there's a 5% chance I'll die from it, I'll take the risk and get the $59 million. I'll take that. I mean, it can't be. I mean, who knows? It's probably just as safe as the COVID vaccine. I don't know.
Oh, God. That's a good thing Ryan's not here now.
Oh,
you get him going on that.
Flipped out. I know. I just wanted him to yell. It's fun to get him going.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you were right. I got to tell you, you were right. I'm going to talk about this. We're going to do like a little potpourri this weekend, I think, with Rickert. You should join me if you can. So I think we're going to get into more detail on this Wolves GM thing.
Yep.
Gerson Rosa. You called it. I mean, we sat there and said the timing only makes sense if it's a sexual harassment claim or some kind of work inappropriate relationship. And within 24 hours, we have that.
Yeah. And, I was amazed to just listen to some other guys on the radio rant about it. They're on like their eighth basketball president since like 2009, I think it was, or something like that, or 2008.
Well, like McHale was there forever, right? And then it was Khan.
Basically, they said even if you take out the interim guys, a new one every 2.5 years.
Yeah, well, we had Tibbs.
And obviously, you can't plan on Flip dying.
No, they can't do that. Right. I give you a pass on that one.
That's a big piece of this. But You know, it's a mess, right? And I guess, you know, same thing, right? You can't plan on the guy you hired, you know, having this relationship. And I haven't seen all the details come out yet.
Neither have I. I haven't seen it. Everybody's been kind of mum, but I'm going to try to...
Yeah, it sounds like it's coming soon.
Yeah.
But my question, or my maybe complaint with that would be, is it's still the culture that hired this guy.
Yeah.
That's had eight different head basketball guys. And I mean, Glenn Taylor's at the NBA at some point needs to step in and say, like, Glenn, you're done.
I agree. Like I
don't, you don't get to make.
You can't say at the. You can't fire him and say, you know, well, and not give us any details, by the way, which maybe he can't. But then to say, we're still committed to building a winning organization here in Minnesota. Yeah, you still are, huh? 30 years later, we can't get it done, but you're still committed. Congratulations. At least we're committed.
It's crazy. It's crazy because he went from, like, the hero, right? Like, he saved him from moving.
Yep.
To just being the absolute villain. And
it's the,
I wonder...
It's the Harvey Dent. He's the Harvey Dent, yeah, of NBA basketball.
Well, so, okay. So if you have... their situation, right? And I don't know enough about the economics of this.
Yep.
But why is the A-Rod deal taking 3 years to complete? Like, what is the thought process behind that?
I always feel like when ownership changes or they get a deal in place, like, that's a done deal, right? Isn't that kind of how this works? Like, as soon as the ink is dry, like, they own the team and that's it. There's not this sort of... You know, and that's the thing with the Wolves. Everything feels like it feels like a shitty deal all the time. Like the Joe Smith stuff. It's everything's so secretive. Everything's so behind the scenes.
Why, yeah. So I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard of like a 3-year transition period like this.
I've never heard of
it. So I don't know what the thought process was, but yeah, like when you have this major of a decision to be made, and the team is in limbo like this, like the NBA should really step in here. And say, hey, like this needs to be, but let's find a way to speed this up. Let's find a way to, because Glenn Taylor should not be making a hire.
I agree. That no chance. I wouldn't want him making this hire. And the fact that he is a bit on the scary side if you're Carl Anthony Towns or whatever. And especially since you're trying to make the Ben Simmons trade, who's making the Ben Simmons trade now? Like, who do you trust to make a deal?
Right.
That's a baffling one.
The one positive that may come out of this McCaffrey situation is I do have Chuba in, like, three leagues on my bench.
I did handcuff McCaffrey with Chuba Hubbard. And now Darnold got this rushing touchdown again.
Yeah,
so
that's his second of the night.
Yeah, he's becoming a sniper, which is which I don't like.
He was, like... plus 2,300 to score the first touchdown in the net tonight.
Yeah, did you take it?
And he did. No, I was not on that. But actually, the one prop bet that I hit, or I bet on tonight, was Fields was still plus 500 to win Rookie of the Year. And I feel like now that he's going to be on the field, like once they've opened... you know, that Pandora's box, like, he's not going back to the bench, right? If Dalton's healthy in 2 weeks, they're not putting Fields back on the bench.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what they say. I mean, they can say that. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything. I mean,
so,
Fields is on the field for life now.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good, there's value in that.
Yeah.
In that bet now.
Yep.
Because the reality is, right, it's him and it's Mac Jones. Right? I mean, I don't think we think Zach Wilson's going to win it.
No, not at all.
I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to win it.
No, Lawrence doesn't look like he's in a position to do that at all. And now, granted, we saw some flashes from Kyle Pitts over the weekend for the Falcons. So maybe like, as that progresses, maybe he becomes this like superstar or maybe he's one of these receivers.
How big of a superstar do you have to be to win Rookie of the Year at tight end?
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like that's my.
You got to be Tony Gonzalez, right?
My view on it. Yep.
And
so.
And but there's also those hotshot wide receivers, whether it's Smith or Ja'Marr Chase or Jaylen Waddle. Like, you feel like one of those guys is probably good, right? I mean, you like... I mean, yeah. if they get hot, right? If Joe Burrow and...
No, there's definitely options there, right? But if Justin Fields plays decent at... If a quarterback plays halfway decent, they're going to be the front runner.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's the same thing, right, last year, right? In Minnesota, a lot of people thought Justin Jefferson might have a shot at it, but the quarterback won.
That's true. I mean, that's just kind of how it works, right? The quarterback's always going to win these things. Yeah. And
so that was my one prop bet for the week. My two other bets, and you know, people can follow or fade them as they wish, because last week the first 2 weeks I won money, but I lost more games than I won. But I won the big ones that I bet on. But this week I've got the Saints Patriots over 42. And I have the Raiders -4.
I like that. I think I could get behind. I could get behind both of those, I think.
Although, yeah, I think Raiders -4 without Tua feels good.
Yeah, I think so. I think they can win by a touchdown.
And I think that even in a low scoring affair, you still. Right? I mean, like, if you said, "Oh, New England's going to win a low scoring affair with New Orleans," it could still be 28-21, and that's well over. You know, it could be 24-21, and that's over. So, yeah, those are my two. They're small bets, but those are my two bets for the week.
I like those two bets. I like both, and they kind of. That's the problem. Is like, I think right now over bets seem like good bets because I feel like the offenses are ahead of the defenses, except for, you know, a couple of shutouts here and there. But by and large, every game is scoring points, and I just feel if you can find a safe over, you take it every time.
Week one, I bet 4 over unders. That's all I bet on. And I went 1-for-3.
Really?
But I came out ahead. Oh. I came out ahead because I won the. I went big on Thursday night, and then went. Went with 3 small ones on Sunday and lost all of them on Sunday.
Well, you got the big one. You got the one that mattered. I mean, that's the thing.
Right.
And the Bucks, you know, if you have the Chiefs or the Bucks, you feel like you can bet over all the time because they're going to score like crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the number is. They've got a shot at it. But
yeah.
So, yeah, it's it had been a roller coaster of a week, but a winning week, right? Or 2 weeks. So far in the NFL season.
It's good to see that you're gambling well. Hey, I just saw another commercial. I'm going to make an observation here. You can agree with me or not.
All right.
I think Kate McKinnon's good looking, and it's partly because she's funny. Like, her ability to make me laugh adds, like, 15 attractive points to her.
What type of a scale is this on?
I don't know, but, like,
that you get 15 points for it.
I don't know, but I'm just looking at, like, I got to figure this out. I actually might have to make an actual scale for this. But you just start to think, like what is... Like, we start to really wonder, like, what is the weight of personality when it comes to, like, outer beauty and or whatever that may be? And not to try to sound misogynistic or judgmental, but I just want to make this point. Like, I find a sense of humor... Like, a sense of humor adds. It adds big time. It doesn't subtract. It never subtracts. It always adds. And I think it's really funny.
There is a... A comedian from our time, you know, whatever, like early 2000s that I think a lot of people don't like that I find attractive. A lot of it because of her comedy too, I think. Oh, so
who's that?
I get that.
Are you gonna? No, you can't confess.
Wow! Look at that. We're out of time.
Hey! Oh, look at the time. Son of a gun! Can you believe all that?
No,
time?
I think Sarah Silverman is attractive.
Sarah Silverman. I'm with you on Sarah Silverman. I like Sarah Silverman. I agree. She's very good looking.
A lot of people don't like her politics either that have come in with her comedy. And that's part of it too.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
And I get it. People's politics can make a difference on whether or not you think somebody's attractive or not. I understand that, but. Nah, she's good looking. You're fine there. Don't worry about that. Politics aside.
So,
I just had to make that observation.
This game is over now, I feel like.
Yep. Unfortunately for Houston, they're going to go to 1-2. And this is what I do worry. I mean, I'll give them credit. They've battled. Like, they've shown some moxie. They haven't been blown out of games. They've hung in. but you just feel like there's such a talent deficiency that they're going to fight it, and lose.
Is it possible that Houston pulls Jacksonville and wins the first game and then loses out? Because that's what the Jags did last year.
Yeah, I mean, is that a possibility? Yeah. The difference is I don't feel like the Jacksonville – don't you feel like Jacksonville wasn't game very often, even with Gardner Minshew? They were out of a lot of games. Like, they were getting –
Yeah, I thought last year after week one that maybe they had something going, and then poof, it was gone. Yeah. I think the difference is, right, Houston has two with the Colts that we're not sure how good they are.
Yeah.
They've got the Jets at home, right? They get the Jaguars again. So maybe there's a win or two more in there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the division stinks. Like, I mean, Tennessee, I think, is probably going to get it going and get good. But, yeah, I'm not really
sure. I'm tempted to go back to our over-under bets of the win-losses and see where we were on some of these teams. And
you took the over on Houston at 4. I mean, you did do that. And I took the under. Yep. Ryan took the under. We all three took the over on Indy, which we look pretty bad, which isn't looking real good right now.
No, it is not.
We all, though, took the under on Jacksonville, and that looks accurate. So.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Well, Herb is looking at college jobs.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to a college job, but man, he is 2 weeks in, and I don't think he expected this.
I think he's a lot like Spurrier, right, and Saban, where they just thought to themselves, man, I'm such a good coach. I will show up, and we will win right away because we're Parcells-esque or whatever. We could just show up, wave a wand, and we'll start winning games.
Not even necessarily, like, win a bunch of games, but I don't think they expected to struggle as much as they did, right? Like, I don't think they walked in going, we're a playoff team year one. But I also don't think those guys expect to go 2-14 or, you know, in their first year.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to look like. And I got to wonder, like, a guy like Trevor Lawrence, too, who didn't lose a game in high school or college in the regular season. He comes out here, he gets shellacked. You know, last game, I think, what did he throw for? I mean, did he barely throw for 100-some-odd yards? Like, he really looked bad. I mean, and it's not even his fault. I think he's going to be all right, but he's learning very quickly. Like, the learning curve is pretty steep at this level.
Darnold's up over 300 now.
Yeah, see, Darnold's got some stuff going on. I like it.
Are you calling a football game this week?
I'm not calling a football game this week. I've got two soccer games next week. Although I will tell you this, I've just been named one of the obnoxious booth reporters for the Powder Puff game next Wednesday night at Goodrich. So I am replacing one of the previous public address guys, and now I got to show up with comedy and shtick.
So what did you do to earn that punishment?
I think, you know, honestly, I think I called a football game for cable TV and people watched it and people saw that I could do stuff and now they want me to do stuff.
Yeah.
Which is probably my mistake, right? I don't know how that works.
Well, we've got a game this week. Then we're on to the bye.
Ooh.
So that'll be interesting. I've never really done bye week in the middle of a high school season before.
That's fun for you. What are your big plans for the bye week?
So we're still practicing a couple days. There are rules of how much we can do and how, like, on our bye week.
Oh, I didn't know.
Because technically we started a week before everyone. So there's limits of what we can do and how much we can practice, but we'll practice a little bit. My kids are swapping out daycares here soon. Moving out of their, they're in a place where they're just the two little guys and they're going to go to more of a preschool setting. So we've got to go do some of the touring there and get them used to it. And
all the parenting stuff. I mean, look at you. I mean, it's just
well,
walled away. You got the two older kids, you got the two babies. What a process here.
Well, I did get to a tennis match tonight, which I haven't been to many this year because of football. But watch Brooke play some tennis, and then yeah, the team is not doing great. and I think she actually leads the team in wins. She struggled a little bit as of late, but she's also working on some new stuff, and she's playing better competition too, which
right, that's a part of
makes
this.
A difference. Yep. But it's been going well for her, so I was able to get out to that today after our walkthrough. But you know, like even this weekend, so our Saturday is pretty light this week because we have the bye coming up. And Caitlin was all, you know, like three times a day, like, hey, what's your Saturday look like? What's your Saturday look like? So I'm like, okay, it sounds like she's got some big plans, right? And I come home. Yeah, the big plans are we're painting the fence. She's like, oh, I got a babysitter for Saturday, so we can paint the fence together. I'm like, oh, man.
Sounds like that scene in Ghost where Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore are making that clay pot. That's what it feels like. You should fire up some Unchained Melody, and then you got it going. Like, it'll be a good time.
It needs to get done. Like, and we've
you.
Caitlin has painted half of it. Or a good section of it, right, so far. And it looks good.
Will she come out and do, like, a Mr. Miyagi type thing where she brings you the paint cans and says, show me paint the fence?
Right, I was going to try to Tom Sawyer this and trick a few guys from the football team to painting it. You know, so, yeah. Big plans, painting the fence and...
I love it. Oh, my God.
So
that's the joys of home ownership right there. That is the fun stuff on Saturdays. You get to paint the fence. Good job, my friend.
Yeah, well, Ryan's heading that way, it sounds like.
He wants to head that way, but he's heading to that coaching life, too. He wants that Saturday busyness watching game film and all that stuff. I mean, he's all about it.
I think he'd be great at that, right? Like,
yeah,
he's the guy you want in front of the film. Well, breaking it down for you.
I think high school kids would respond to him. I think so. And I think he's a student of it. I think he wants to, you know, learn and soak things up and get better. And that's what makes him fun. So it makes it a good opportunity.
Yep.
Well, I think that was a good nightcap. I enjoyed the extra 20 minutes hanging out.
Yep. Sounds good. I got to let the dogs out.
Go let those dogs out. They cue us up. That's the end of the nightcap. I'll try to find some smoky music to play this out in the future. But
Panthers 3-0.
Good job, Panthers. All right, everybody. We'll see you later. Keep your head up. We're out of the nightcap.